So the reading today is taken from Luke 7, verse 11 to 17. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," he said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country.
Let me pray. Father, thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you that we can learn much from it. And Father, would you help us this evening to be pointed to the person of Jesus so that we might understand more, but ultimately that we might respond to his identity. Amen. I want to tell you a story. Well, in fact, I think, to be honest, it's a bit of a secret. I guess it qualifies as a secret. I haven't really told anyone before. Come back with me to GCSE music. There we are, sat the 15 of us in front of Mr. McCalman. And we are nervous, very nervous, because we're about to find out the fate of the next couple of months. We're about to find out what we are going to perform as our music piece, our practical. And so, there we are, sat listening, and on the CD player comes this. It's good, isn't it? It is good. Hands up if you recognise it. Good, okay, that's most of you. That's enough, thank you. As we were sat there, a few smiles came out. Most of us, we recognised it. But not all of us had a great love of it, really. To be honest, it's probably a little bit before our time. But we were sat there, and we thought, this is the next couple of months. This is the next couple of months for us. We have to play this song and perform this song as well as we possibly can. And over the next couple of months, I grew to love that song. I really loved it. And we'd listen to it day in, day out as we tried to hone our skills to play exactly how it was. But what quickly became apparent is actually, musically, that's quite a simple song. Rhythmically, for me, playing the drums, that's quite a simple song. But what makes that song quite unique is the voice. The voice of Ben E. King. There you go, Ben E. King. The song wasn't too familiar to us, but, I've got to admit, I grew to love the song, and so I did a bit of research. And it's got over 100 credits for covers, for use in films, for use in cinema, all kinds of things. And it is, to this day, it remains an amazingly well-known song. And it brings smiles over a lot of people's faces in the room straight away. And as we carried on listening to this song, as we carried on trying to play, what we realised was, for me playing the drums and some of the others playing other instruments, it was actually quite a fun and easy song to play. For poor old Ollie Thompson, 16-year-old white little boy, trying to sing like Ben E. King was a real challenge. Because what we noticed about the song was Ben E. King's voice is quite astounding. And here's the secret. From then on, I developed a real hunger, a passion, a desire, a dream to see Ben E. King live. I did my research at the time, and I really, really wanted to see Ben E. King live. And actually, I still do. I really do. And over the last couple of years, I've been looking to see when his next tour date is. Last time he toured was in America in 2014. But then, in April last year, my dream to see Benny King live took a real turn, a massive turn. It couldn't have taken a bigger turn. On April the 30th, last year, just after my birthday, Benny King died. Ben E. King died. His career is over. His life is over. My dream is over. Because the reality is, death is final. This evening, we're going to think about death, and no one likes talking about it. It's difficult to talk about. For some of us, it will bring pain. But the reality is that death affects all of us, whether it be family, whether it be friends. Ultimately, it's a statistic we can't run away from. 100% of people die. Death is final, the most final thing in our world. The Bible tells us that death is God's right judgment against sin. God gives us over to what we deserve in rebellion against him, a life without him, the place the Bible calls hell. And death must be a final thing, because God, in his justice, must punish sin fully. I wonder, as we think this evening, what do you make of death? Do we consider death to be the consequence of sin? Do we recognise the helpless and hopeless situation that death leaves us in? And in the context of the Bible, death is more serious than our world lets on. Our world readily admits that it's final. But death is serious. This is the backdrop to which we join our story this evening. Have a look down at verse 12. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. See, as Jesus and his crew, his followers, enter the town called Nain, a funeral procession is in full flow. There's a widow, a woman who's lost her husband, and in that context, that would have been a bigger thing than it is now, her sole provider. She's now lost her son. And in that context again, her son would have become her provider. Not just her last living family member, but her provider. So to have lost both would have been horrendous. Her family on earth is gone. It is final. And as we join this mourning process, you can imagine how beside herself this woman would have been. I can only really remember one funeral in my whole life, and that was a couple of months ago. And the most difficult time was as we walked out and followed the coffin. Because in that moment, you're walking to a body going into the ground, and you realise that it is final. So this is the exact moment that we join our story this evening. The most final moment in a final process. This is difficult. This woman is face to face with the finality of death. Our first point this evening is painfully clear. Death is final. But our second point from verse 13, have a look down, is Jesus has compassion. Look down at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." When Jesus saw this woman, his heart went out to her. He had compassion. Jesus really cares. As this woman faces the reality of the result of sin and death in this world, Jesus' heart goes out to her. And we know from elsewhere in the Bible that this is not uncharacteristic of Jesus. This is what we should come to expect of Jesus. Matthew 9, verse 36 says, Jesus looked out on the crowd and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And we know that Jesus is the same today as he was then. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know his character is the same. We can be confident that Jesus has the same compassion on us as we face the consequence of sin and death in this world. So Jesus has compassion on this woman. But what he does is very strange. Have a look down, verse 13, what does he say? Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry to a woman that has lost her husband, her son, that has lost everything, anyone to provide for her, her family. He says, don't cry. How on earth can Jesus compassionately say that? Surely if ever there's a time to cry, then it is then. Has Jesus just slipped up and said the wrong thing? I'm quite sure that at the time, there would have been people following Jesus, trying to pick him up on everything he said, trying to catch him out saying the wrong thing. And it's a bit like the Prime Minister today, isn't it? He tours the country, trying to speak of himself, speak of his party, and give a good account of himself. But realistically, there's people everywhere he turns trying to catch him out. Trying to catch him out saying the wrong thing. Is this what's happened with Jesus? In September last year, David Cameron was on tour doing the rounds. He spent the day at Headingley Cricket Ground in Leeds. He was watching the cricket. He spent time with a few celebrities. It was well broadcast upon. It was very light-hearted for the most part for David Cameron. And then in the evening, he went to a conference. He went to speak in Leeds Town Centre. And just before he was getting up to speak, his mic was turned on, and this happened. Have a watch of this video.
We just thought people would pay for that. You didn't say Johnson.
Can you play that again, just a bit?
We just thought people would pay for that. You didn't say Johnson.
Did everyone catch that or not quite? What David Cameron said is, we just thought people in Yorkshire hated everyone else. We didn't realise they hated each other so much. And you can imagine, as he's about to address the people of Leeds, it's probably not the line he wants to be overheard, or in fact broadcast to the whole room. It's caught him out, hasn't it? And the reality is that for people like David Cameron, I'm sorry if I'm the one to break it to you, but his personality is flawed somewhere. It is. And people will get seen through at some point, won't they? They'll get caught out. Is this what's happened to Jesus? Has he just said the wrong thing? Because in reality, it is difficult, very difficult, to know what to say to someone who is mourning, isn't it? But surely this is not compassionate. It's difficult for us to know what to say to someone who is mourning because ultimately we can do nothing in the face of death. But true compassion is more than just a throwaway comment. Words are easy to say. What has Jesus done here? Well, even up against something so final, Jesus can do something about it. His compassion leads to action. Our second point, Jesus has compassion, leads to our third point. Jesus has power over death. Look down at verse 14. Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine how awkward that would have been at a funeral where a woman has lost everything? Jesus steps in, and what would people be thinking? What would people be expecting? Jesus waltzes in. What would people be thinking? And he says to the man, "Get up." And what does the man do? Verse 15, the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Let's not escape the facts here. At a real funeral in real history, Jesus walked up to a coffin, had compassion, and raised a dead man back to life. Jesus can compassionately say to a grieving mother not to cry because he can do something about it. It is completely within Jesus' capacity and ability to deal with death, the most full and final thing. Well then, how does Jesus' compassion show itself to us? We're born into a world where the pattern of rebellion against God and its full and final consequence in death is very clear. And we can recognize the serious nature of death. Jesus' compassion to us is like that to the woman. It's not isolated from action. Ultimately, Jesus' life ended on death on a cross, the full and final punishment for sin. And in beating death as he came back to life, rising 3 days later, he offers us death-beating power in a life with him, if we accept this truth. We must recognize that death is final, and we will all face it. And we in ourselves are in a helpless and hopeless situation. But we must have our eyes lifted to a compassionate Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered death for us. As we face up to the serious nature of death, will we, like Jesus, have compassion, a compassionate nature that drives us into action? Matthew 9, verse 35, which I said before, said Jesus looked out on the crowd and had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As we have our eyes lifted to the power of Jesus, will we recognize the helpless situation of our friends and family? Will we see that they're harassed and helpless before death, the most full and final thing? Will we have our eyes lifted to Jesus and want to speak of him? He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Have a look down at verse 16. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." The people were filled with awe. It's easy to see why, isn't it? Jesus has raised a man back to life. That is awesome. But they haven't quite got the identity of Jesus right. They say he is a prophet. But one thing that they have recognized is this: God has come to help his people. What a simple truth. God has come to help his people. God has come to help his people. It's simple. It beautifully and simply sums up Jesus' work in conquering death. For this woman, but also for us. Death is final. It's a full and final punishment for rebellion against God. But Jesus has compassion. His heart went out to the woman in the face of death, and his heart goes out to us in the face of death. His compassion leads to action. He has power over death, bringing this man back to life in the story today, but ultimately defeating death for us, offering us the escape from the finality of death to a life with him. This evening, we must be pointed to the person of Jesus, who has ultimate power over death. Let me pray. Father, thank you that Jesus came on your authority with complete power over death. Thank you that that is not just for this man in this story, but that his power over death as he rose from the dead means that we can have life with you. Father, would you help us to be honest about what death is? But would it always mean that our eyes are lifted to the person of Jesus Christ? Amen.